is The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang. United by sport, we are Sportsnet 650.
Now JT Miller from the right corner, back to the line for Hughes, fakes the shot across to Myers, one-timer, he scores! Tyler Myers set up by Quinn Hughes, his first as a Canuck before the midway mark of the third, and Vancouver's got its first lead of the season, up 2-1 in Edmonton.
Canucks drop the season opener in Edmonton 3-2. Played better than the score would indicate, and we're now joined in studio. I am Satyar Shah with John Jang, Canucks owner Francesco Aquilini. Francesco, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And, you know, just kind of talk about the first game of the season. As we kind of talked off air, the effort was there and came close, and just the mistake in the end kind of cost them.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game to watch. It was entertaining. It was a very entertaining game. You know, obviously we didn't like the result, but you know, overall, I thought they played a good game. But you know, it's a long season, and we'll get a chance again.
Well, and excitement is something that's been really percolating around this organization and this team because of these young guys. And from your perspective, how excited are you heading into this season compared to the past few years?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, this is the start of a new era. You know, we've added five new players. You know, we've seen, you know, Quinn Hughes emerge. We've seen Pettersson. I mean, we've got a great young core, and you know, I'm really excited. I think this year it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
How much fun do you have just watching Quinn? That was one of the discussions points we had just before jumping on the air, and everyone's got a big smile when you just see him skate.
You know, he's amazing. He's just so fast and quick, and he gets himself out of real, you know, sticky situations really quickly, and you know what? He's only just going to get better. I mean, he's just a teenager. I mean, he's so dynamic and so much fun to watch.
That was one of the things he mentioned last night too. Is like, hey, that was our first game, and I thought we had a lot of positive things. Imagine where we'll be 30 games into this season right now. It's just tip of the iceberg with what this core group of players can do together moving forward.
Yeah, no, I'm optimistic. You know, I think you know, with these five new players, I mean, there's going to have to be some, you know, chemistry built among them. They have to get to know each other. They got to communicate. They have to kind of figure each other out, what, you know, what their tendencies are and all that kind of stuff. And so once they figure that out and they come together as a team, I think it's going to be good.
Well, and it's also a year where you're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the organization as well. And a lot's been building up to get to this point. And also, you know, when a team's going through a retool, rebuild, or however you want to phrase it, there will be a down period with fan interest. How much has fan interest gone up this season so far?
Yeah, so we've had, you know, a few rough years, but this year, you know, we've seen, you know, a really marked improved, you know, sales in our group sales. You know, we've had an increase in season ticket sales, so that's a good indicator for us because you know, as season ticket holders come back, you know, that means they have confidence in the team and they like watching the Canucks. So, you know, we're happy how things are going.
Well, and as far as things that are planned, we know that on Wednesday it'll be a very special day here with the season opener at home. Maybe a new captain gets named and it might be some ceremonies. How exciting is it going to be to have all these events for each game? But namely, how excited are you to see what gets unfolded on Wednesday against the LA Kings?
Yeah, so, you know, it'll be our 50th year. You know, only happens once. It's exciting. We, you know, remember when we had our 40th anniversary, it was very exciting. You know, Henrik Sedin was named captain, and so we're gonna name our captain on Wednesday. I mean, it's probably the worst kept secret in town, but I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag.
So you're saying it's Elias Pettersson, Francesco?
Oh, no, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag.
What makes this the right time to bring in the captain? Like, is it kind of in part with the 50th anniversary, or is it also whichever player is going to be the captain, it's also just the right time in the progression of their career?
Yeah, so, you know, we're seeing like, from last year, we're seeing some of our guys, some leadership emerge from the group, and that's really the focal point. I mean, somebody who's a captain for the first time doesn't know how to be a captain until they are a captain. So, captains are guys that take responsibility. It's a great honor. I mean, they're the first guys that hold the cup when they win the Stanley Cup. I mean, they're the guys that, you know, have to communicate, you know, to the media and to the fans, and, you know, when things are not going well. And so, I mean, it's a big responsibility. And, you know, Jim and Travis felt that this was the time that Sean wants to step up and take on that role.
Well, and, you know, for many years, and I know you can't say specifically what it's going to be, but Bo has been kind of presented as potentially a captain down the road. And then last year we saw Elias Pettersson come to the forefront as well. I mean, incredible skill. And his presence, as you know, Francesco, as soon as you meet him, you can tell. The players respect him a lot. Was it, at the end of the day, a harder decision than what it seemed a couple of years ago because you have more young guys to maybe look at as potential captains?
Well, you know, I mean, really to succeed, I think you've got to have like five captains on a team. You know, I mean, just because one person wears the C doesn't mean that the others are don't provide the leadership that's needed. But, you know, when you look at those years when LA won those cups, I mean, you know, they had five captains on those teams. Those, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of leadership on that group. And so I think that's kind of that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for not just one person, but the whole group of guys emerge.
And that emergence of the young core is what allows this team to potentially take that next step forward. But as we mentioned before, it's been a trying time to get to this point. I mean, the past 5 or 6 years haven't been easy. So what has led to you being so patient with this management group over these past 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I mean, like in this business, in the sport, professional sports business, there's ebbs and flows. And, you know, people have expectations. They want to win every year, all the time, forever. And, like, that just doesn't work because there's always a new group of players that come in. You know, we had a good team for many years, and you know, now that, you know, the new players, this new group is coming in, and they're younger, and they need to learn what it takes. And, you know, you have to be patient. I mean, there's no other choice because you can't bring in a core, which is what you need to do to win, you know, by trading players or free agency. You can't do that. They're all drafted. If you look at all the teams that are successful, their core have all been drafted. And so, you know, that's Jim and his team and the scouts, and that's their job, is to identify players that can be our core and, you know, give them time to develop, learn the game. I mean, they're coming in as 18-year-olds, 20, you know, 19, 20-year-olds. And so, and they're playing against men. So, you know, our organization now is, you know, this is the, you know, we're kind of a start of a new era. You know, there's a real good buzz in the city now with this group we have. And, you know, Jim went out now and, you know, signed all these free agents that can help provide some stability around these young players because, you know, they need to learn, you know, the work ethic, the grueling 82 game schedule. So, you know, I'm positive, and you have to be patient. And I think, you know, it's about expecting for them to take the next step.
And with that patience, at some point, expectations are that the results have to come. So how important is it this year for the results to come, for that patience to continue beyond the season?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to take the next step. You know, we've got players have to, you know, I can't really quantify exactly what that is because that will be decided at the end of the year. But, you know, we've got to be better this year than we were last year. And I think just based on the group we have, the experience that we're bringing in, and some of these young guys, and like you were saying, John, about Quinn Hughes and mm-hmm. how his game is evolving, I think it's something that needs to evolve, and we got to expect improvement. That's really the goal. The goal is to expect improvement. I think from the fans that I talk to, you know, I talk to people on the street, and you know, they're behind us and they support us and they really like what we're doing, and you know, they know it just doesn't happen overnight, and they're excited, and they're, you know, they like what they see, and I think the whole city's expecting improvement.
Canucks owner Francesco Aquilini joining Sat and I on Sportsnet 650, an exclusive chat here this morning. That word evolve is a really interesting one because, as you're right, the young players start to take their steps forward and get better. Jobs get very tight. And John Weisbrod joined Sat on a postgame show in the preseason where he said, look, part of my job is making this Canucks team that much harder to make every summer in the offseason and in training camp. We know Sven Berchi was was waived earlier this week, and he's been a talk of the town with how many people really admired his story, and having to come back from all those concussions and all those challenges with his health in the summer. How difficult is it to come to the decision to waive a player like Sven when you know it's also maybe for the benefit of this term for this team, because it's the evolution of a growing hockey team?
Yeah, I mean, like, those decisions are made by, you know, Jim and John and Travis, I mean, and the group. And listen, as an owner, all I can do is provide the best resources and as many resources as I can to Jim. And internal competition is always a good thing. And this year, we had that. You know, Jim had a lot of options. Travis had a lot of options. It's very unfortunate for Sven. I mean, I think he's a good hockey player. He's a great NHL player. I think that eventually will all work itself out. I mean, who knows, in a couple of weeks there could be injuries and he'll be back up here again. So we don't know.
When it comes to those sending players to the minors, was there ever like a reluctance on your part about wanting to send players with salary to the minors in the event that young players just make a bigger argument in the preseason and throughout the course of the season that they should be here over some veterans, for example?
Well, the goal is to make the hockey team better. That's the ultimate goal, and whoever's going to fit in and make that happen, whoever's going to fit in, like, that's what's going to happen. So money's not a factor, because I mean, if one player is better than the other player, Jim and Travis, I mean, their only goal is to win. And so, you know, my job is to support them. So it's not like if it starts turning into a money issue, then we're not trying to win, right? I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, Sven, I mean, I think he's a really good player, but there are other players that are ahead of him right now, according to Jim and Travis.
Well, and the reality is, some of these contracts, it's been a couple of years in a row, Sam Gagner last year, and when you were asked about that, you said you didn't like it, that the fact that you have a player who's getting paid that ends up in the minors. Yeah. So from an owner's perspective, I don't know if any owner likes to see a player on an inefficient contract that you have to hide, but at the same time, would you ever be against a player going down? Because the word comes out on Louis Erickson. People are like, well, why is Louis here and Sven went down? Is it because of his contract? Does that play any part into decisions that get made?
No, I think it's a player evaluation. It's training camp, it's the preseason games, Jim and Travis, after the whole preseason and training camp, they evaluate each player and they go, this player is going to help us win. And this player this group is going to help us more than this group. And so, I support Jim on that. And, you know, do I like it? You know, spending that kind of money, $3 million in the minors? No, it's ridiculous. Nobody likes it, but it's all part of the business. if you want to succeed, I have so many other things going on besides hockey, and I don't bat 1,000. Everything I do is not perfect, and you can't expect perfection, and every decision you make is 100%, and it's always right all the time. You know, mistakes are going to get made, but that's all part of it. That's all part of the business, and you've got to carry on, you've got to move forward, and you got to make, what the best decision is to be successful at the time. Because if you don't, when I make investments, I'll make five investments, two will break even, one will be a home run, and three will be, so if I make, say, 10 investments, three will be losers, five will break even, and two will be home runs. But two home runs pay for everything.
Right?
Like, that's kind of that mentality. So, nobody's perfect. Every team in this league has contracts they wish they didn't have. Right, so that's just part of the business.
And the question, I guess, a lot of fans would have more than anything is: do those type of contracts that are inefficient affect any other spending for the organization? When it comes to the cap, you guys have always spent to the cap, even during the times when the team was clearly in a retool or rebuild or however you want to phrase it. But does it impact other investment possibilities behind the scenes at all for the organization?
You mean besides the players?
Yeah, besides the players.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we still continue to invest in the building. The fan experience, the building requires maintenance all the time, and we always have, we prioritize what we need to do in terms of, the building, the fan experience. So, at the end of the day, this is a business, and, we've got a great fan base that are supporting us. Our business is growing. So we've got to continue that. Like we want to keep our fans engaged. We want to give our fans the feeling that we are working towards creating a good team, you know, without sacrificing anything else, because then that's really, you're not really accomplishing anything.
Well, on the hockey side of things, earlier this summer, Francesco, it was frustrating to a lot of people to see that the Roberto Luongo recapture penalty hit the Vancouver Canucks when we see a lot of cases, players just going on LTIR. Mm-hmm. Was there a conversation between the organization and the NHL head office about, you know, how can we appeal this? Because for a lot of people, it's still a point of frustration that it's on the books for three more years.
Yeah. So first of all, everybody knows the player Roberto was, what he meant to this organization. I mean, he was the cornerstone for all those years that we had a good team. He was the backbone of the team, so everybody knows that. But listen, Roberto. I don't know what his personal circumstances were and his situation. Why he did that, I don't know. I mean, we did appeal to the league, but the rules are the rules, and we just have to live with it. And there's nothing we can do about it.
And you know, I know you can't necessarily say this, but I think it's a bunch of BS from their league's perspective, because the whole cap recapture thing happened after the fact, and the contract was legal when it was signed, and it seems like Vancouver is the only team in the league that has to suffer the consequences of a arbitrary rule. So there has to be some frustration, because I feel it, and I don't even have money invested in the organization.
No, I mean, listen, I'm frustrated as well, but there's nothing we can do about it, and we just got to accept it and move on. And if you don't like it, I'll give you Gary Bettman's number.
You know what? I've had good conversations with Gary. I'll pick up that pitchfork and get after it.
There you
okay.
go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll give you a sell.
Good. Even better. On the note of Roberto Luongo, we know that it's a big year for Henrik and Daniel, and a big year for Alex Burrows as he goes into the Ring of Honor. Is there any future plans to commemorate Roberto Luongo and the impact he had for this team in the city?
So his number's being retired in Florida this year. Mm-hmm. And so we've got our 50th, a lot of stuff going on our 50th anniversary. So we don't have any plans right now. And, you know, we might in the future, but right now we don't.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to you sort of mentioned earlier, the investments you've made into the building, a lot of people want to know, and this is something our good friend Wyatt, the stanchion on Twitter, has sort of been the leading campaigner for. It's the seats in Rogers Arena. Mm-hmm. People want to see it maybe converted into a shade of blue to match the Vancouver Canucks colors a little bit more now.
Well, first of all, nobody's ever complained to me that the seats are uncomfortable.
I don't think it's about the comfort. I think it's the color.
Aesthetics.
The color?
Yeah.
You don't like the color?
We always like new shiny things. Any upgrades that happen, we'll be super excited about it. But what a lot of fans are kind of clamoring for, part of the things that we heard a lot was, are there new seats coming? Because some have heard rumors about it, and some feel like maybe blue seats would fit the organization better, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have any plans, because we never thought there's a real need to change the seats. I think the seats are fine, personally. Mm-hmm. Unless they're not comfortable and people don't like sitting in them, but I've never heard that. but there's a priority of things that, you know, like there's a list with Trent now with his capital spending. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the seats are a priority, but I know some of the fans have been asking about that. Is it that important? I mean, there's probably other things. I mean, you know, there's... I think we just put in Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. We just put in Wi-Fi in the building. We've got to improve our club section. I think that, you know, that hasn't been renovated in, you know, since we bought the team. So I think that's a priority. I mean, there's certain priorities besides the seats. But eventually, at some point, like, we'll probably get to that, because we're constantly upgrading the building. I don't know if you saw that score clock in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that thing is just unbelievable. That curved kind of, like, that's amazing. So, you know, at some point we'll have to do that. You know, have to put a new score clock in, because, the technology changes and so we'll have to keep up to date. But but there's lots of things we're looking at now.
Well, and a lot of improvements have been made. And just from, experience of being in the walkways during the game, the restaurants that have opened up. So there are a lot of things that are happening. So that will be part of it too, to keep adding to that. And one of the things I know you've been linked to in the past, the things that have been mentioned, is you weren't shy of saying, hey, NBA team, come and play here if you need. During, obviously, unfortunate situation with Hurricane Katrina, you opened the doors and said, if you guys want to bring the team here to play, you would. As far as trying to add more professional sports teams, whether it's locally owned or teams in the NBA or NFL, MLB, how much is your interest still there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we own the building, you know, we have hockey games, we have concerts, we have the Vancouver Warriors that take up like 10 dates, and then we have, you know, Vancouver Titans. So, you know, we're always looking ways to, you know, keep the building occupied. I mean, that's a business we're in, and if there's opportunities, an NBA team wants to come or other sports team, we're always looking at that.
And the cost for NBA teams just seem to be so astronomically high. And is that one of those things that if you would ever go down that path where you need a group to get together? Because, I mean, back in the day, it used to be less than $1 billion. Now you have the Clippers got sold for over $2 billion. You have franchises that aren't even good being valued at over $2 billion. Like, the numbers are so big now in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are cost prohibitive now. I mean, there was a time when maybe that was possible. But, I mean, to spend $2 billion on an NBA team... It's not something we're going to do. It's just not in our wheelhouse. We're just not going to do that.
As far as one team, and it's been has been brought up a lot, and it's the Utica Comets. And you guys still have a deal in place for a few more years and two more years at the very least. But Seattle's coming, and Seattle's going to have an AHL team in Palm Springs. We see more AHL teams on the West Coast now, which makes it easier for the travel as well. Is that something you will revisit again in a couple of years to potentially bring the Comets closer to home?
Yeah, listen, we got a good relationship with the Utica guys. But, you know, we're always looking to improve. I mean, you know, our guys are always looking at, you know, how to make things better. And if, you know, bringing the team closer makes it better from a hockey perspective, I think they're going to look at that. I mean, there's pros and cons to on both sides of the argument. You know, keeping it in Utica, you know, they can practice more. They sleep in their own beds every night versus here. They have to get on in a flight. They don't practice. So there's lots of arguments, pro and con. So right now we've got a contract for 2 years, and you know, that's always constantly being evaluated.
Is it beneficial for the organization to have a close as far as a marketing perspective, like whether it's, say, Langley or Abbotsford or even Pacific Coliseum or even here at Rogers Arena? Like, you start looking at those avenues and possibilities. Does your research kind of tell you there would be a lot of interest locally if that happened?
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, there's the junior teams here. There's the Chilliwack team folded.
Well, Abbotsford, he couldn't work.
Abbotsford couldn't work. So, I mean, that's something that, you know, we're still doing a lot of research on, and we still got some time. But, you know, bringing it home closer. I mean, you know, having the players closer here to the big team is a good thing. You know, so, I mean, we're just constantly evaluating it. Right now it's in Utica, you know, until a better solution comes along, I think we're just going to stay there.
Seattle announces their team with Palm Springs, which is a nice luxury for the players to be sent down to the minors. You don't think of it that way usually. But Seattle and that NHL team that's coming in, I know you were endorsing it throughout this process. They finally got one announced. I know it's still a couple of years away, but are there maybe special events that you're trying to work together with the Seattle team to get for that inaugural season so that Canucks fans and Seattle fans can together have a unique experience where Canucks fans finally get to go to a game on the road and maybe come back and vice versa for Seattle fans that want to come here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part of it. And that's why I supported it, because I think having a team, you know, 2.5-3 hours away, I mean, you're going to get fans going back and forth and it's good for the schedule, and it's good to have another team in the Western Conference. So, you know, overall, it was good for the Canucks to have Seattle come in the league. I mean, I think Seattle is a good hockey market. You know, it's a good sports market, you know, like I'm sure that you know, our guys have a whole program, you know, working together with Seattle to get their season going.
You wouldn't happen to know the Seattle hockey team name, would you?
No, I don't know that.
Because that's one thing that people keep, you know, being very, very curious about. But, you know, on that note of Seattle, like, it must be very exciting just to know that there's going to be, like, a natural geographical rival for the Vancouver Canucks. Because in years past, you've had rivals with the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, there's the one with Boston. Those come through playoff experiences, but the Canucks never had that geographical rival, the Battle of Alberta, you know, the Battle of Ontario, even in years past when Ottawa was a bit more competitive. Now, Seattle's going to be here, and it gives Canucks fans, like, an actual, you know, person, an image to get angry about and start a rivalry with.
Yeah, I mean, that's professional sports. I mean, rivalries are great. I mean, They're great for the fans to get involved, I think for, you know, you're going to have Seattle fans coming to Vancouver, which is great for us, and you're going to have Vancouver fans going to Seattle, And no, it's going to be good. That's why I supported it.
Well, it is going to be really exciting for fans here to have that arrival just down the I-5. And maybe the toughest question I have for you so far, Francesco, and this is one a lot of fans want to hear about.
Right.
How do you feel about the current logo, and could they potentially bring back the flying skate? Because mm-hmm. fans keep saying they want to see a new jersey. Maybe that's excitement over the past, but how do you feel about the current logo, and is there a possibility it will change down the road?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, personally, I like the logo. You know, it's indigenous to the region. It's, you know, we're going to keep it. We might tweak it. And it represents the, you know, the current generation. I mean, those logos, I mean, they were at that time and they represent the fans at that time. But, you know, we've got a whole new group of fans and, you know, they identify with this logo and they like this logo. And so we don't have any plans to change it, but, you know, we might tweak it a little bit. You know, I think it's a good thing that, you know, our fans can connect with our current logo. I mean, there are some fans that don't like it, but there always will be. No, we're going to keep this logo.
So outside of the current logo, which one do you like the best?
I like the hockey stick.
Yeah.
The 1970.
That's my favorite. Yeah. I mean, I remember my first game was St. Louis, 1970, and it was the hockey stick. And I remember the players, and I actually have a picture in my office of that first game I went to.
And Francesco, I know you've mentioned this before, but your family has been so invested in this organization and this team for a long time. What would it mean for you, your father, your brothers, if you're able to get this team to a cup final again? Like, is that the thing that drives you guys the most as a family?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's family pride. It's, you know, I was a fan long before I was an owner. And, you know, there's nothing more that I want to see is a cup in Vancouver. I mean, we came close. You know, didn't happen, but, you know, we'll get our shot again. And, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, I remember in 2011 how this city just came alive and, you know, the finals were, I mean, I don't think anybody worked for a week. Like, all the offices closed.
One thing I'm very curious about, too, is your takeaway from the Overwatch inaugural season, since you became the owner of the new Vancouver Titans. I went to a couple of those watch parties down at the sports bar, and there's a lot of young, passionate energy for that team. Your takeaway from just the first year that's been, when the Titans were so close to winning the whole darn thing?
Yeah, listen, you know, it's you know, they had a great season. The Titans had a very good regular season. You know, as in sports, things happen. They can, you know, they'll get their shot again. And, you know, it's you know, it's incredible how this this video gaming, competitive video game, is evolving, and with the young generation. I mean, there's, you know, 50 million people that watch and play Overwatch, and there's 200 million people that play and watch Call of Duty. I mean, the numbers are staggering. Mm-hmm. And when we had the Dota games here, in 2018, the summer of 2018, you know, they sold $4 million of tickets with one tweet. And they filled the, you know, the Rogers Arena for 6 days, 18,000 people, and the purse was $23 million, and the winner won $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Augusta Golf Tournament, I think, what is it, $3-4 million that they win, and so this is $11 million. I mean, the numbers are staggering. So the growth here is the new generation from, you know, like 15 and up and 14. It's something that, you know, I can't really identify with, but it seems that, you know, this is probably gonna rival traditional sports at some point.
He is Francesco Aquilini, Canucks owner. Francesco, we really appreciate you giving us some time here in studio on Sportsnet 650. We know you have a busy schedule, so we thank you for your time, and let's do this again. You know, don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Okay. And invite me anytime. Just invite me. I'll come.
Sounds good. Okay. He is Francesco Aquilini. Really appreciate your time, and good luck this season.
Sportsnet 650.